Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast. Oh, sexy.
That's running. Cool. Crazy. Oh, man. How are you, Manny?
All right.
Well, got some breaking news.
Luka Doncic. Look at the Lakers.
I've been traded to the fucking LA Lakers.
That's the real reason why I'm late. I was in the morning just watching all the content.
I know.
Yeah, joking. That's not sure why, but yeah.
Gorilla.
Yeah, that's actually insane to me.
Yeah, same.
Should we break it down to
the story? someone said to me, yeah, someone said it was the same. No, it's a tweet. It's like, can someone break it down in girl terms? Yeah. Someone's like, if Destiny Child traded Beyonce to TLC.
For Chili. Yeah.
For Chili. And I was like,
even then, it's, don't know, like...
And now I get it. Now I understand the severity of the situation.
It's still even really hard to, like, break down how significant...
Can you break it down in TV and film for me?
I don't know.
Bro, like, this morning, my brethren Tud, she recently got into basketball, innit? Mainly because of the drama. So
it does. Drama. I'm not gonna lie, I would get...
NBA drama in general, like, any drama that's... Like, NBA is very drama-filled. There's a lot of drama in NBA. Like,
the so, like Jimmy Butler.
The Jimmy Butler, for example. Yeah. And that's what got into it, Butler.
Cool.
So this morning, I was trying to explain to her, like, I said, I don't have the words to explain how nuts...
And how stupid.
How crazy this situation is. So the best way I can describe it is, like, they just, like, essentially traded the... arguably the greatest player to ever play for their franchise, ever in the history, and he's 25.
Or set to be, at least. Like, because I think people would see Dirk.
The greatest. I think
he's going to go on to be potentially the greatest. If he could, take some chips home as well, that would be...
Based on quality... I think he's the best.
The best
player that they have. Dirk, definitely the greatest. Even someone tweeted, Dirk is just relieved that his record won't get broken. They traded the best player at 25 years old. I wouldn't even say that's prime years for NBA players. Like late
They be playing until they're quite old, don't they?
No, they play like until early 30s.
Isn't LeBron like an old ass man?
He doesn't count, bro. He generally doesn't count.
Is he not?
What he's doing is crazy. Even Chris Paul, he's like 38, 39.
Yeah, isn't he? He's 40. He's his 40th.
LeBron James is 40, yeah. But
it was so funny. Everyone's seeing what was everyone doing for his 40th.
Niggas really celebrating.
And then everyone was like, you know, it's not glazing if it's LeBron. And I hear it.
No, it's facts.
They traded like AD's a really good player. Though.
Really good player.
Like he's top, you could argue top 10, 15. But like the seismic difference between like the, what, and the seismic sounds nuts. It sounds like a disrespect to AD because he's really good. And obviously they do different things on the court. But yes, it's a crazy trade. And the Lakers are set for like another 10 years. They always seem to find their way. Still, it's the Lakers, which is interesting because have you seen, I know it's not going to be one of my shows for the pod, but there's a new series coming called Running Point. And it's by Mindy Kaling.
Okay.
Yeah, and I actually have seen that. And it stars,
Kate Hudson's
that's
the lead.
That's it.
It's like a spin-off / parody of the Lakers,
yeah,
which is quite ironic, which is coming at the end of the month. Really cool stuff. All right, let's get into the...
Where were you the other day, Mr. Paradise, suited and booted? Mind you, we asked guys to wear a suit for something we were shooting. Suddenly, he hasn't got a blazer. He ain't got a smart shirt, whatever. Now that I see him doing espionage, Mr. Oh, look, I'm running in the underworld, Mr. Paradise. Yeah. Sterling K. Brown's there. Suddenly, he finds a suit, finds a jacket. I said, I know who you
are. I know what you are. Industry number one. Fair.
I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now he's part of the Paradise. Crazy.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Have you watched the first three episodes?
Yeah.
Insane.
He made a whole review for it.
Yeah, I'm just asking so I can talk
about it. Just for the sake of the conversation.
What's your problem?
Do you know what? I apologize. And okay, let me be completely honest with you. That's the way I was
just wanted to be a dickhead.
No, the reason I'm really late, I wanted to give you guys time with each other. So I purposely came in late thinking you guys are going to start the pod without me. It's like you can get the connection going. I feel like season four should start off with you two.
Hashtag by guys.
Yeah, it's a hashtag by guys.
Consider it human being.
So I do apologize for kind of ruining that. I was kind of hoping you guys would start off without me, but I don't be plenty more opportunities in the future. Sure.
I thank you for your acts of kindness.
It's okay, my guy. Anything for my favorite duo.
Oh, yeah. No, it was cool. I've seen the first three episodes. Then they did a screening for it on Thursday in the Mayfair Hotel, which was cool. The cast came out as well. So James Marsden was there, Julianne Nicholson, the show creator Dan Fogelman. So he created This Is Us as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Sterling K. Brown came from the Graham Norton show. To the screening afterwards. It was really cool, man. Quite a pretentious event, not in a bad way, but you know, like the canapé. And so on and so
forth. Did it fit the theme of Paradise completely?
Yeah, it did. In terms of the...
Did you have the little wristbands and stuff?
Yeah, the wristbands. I had to, like, log it in and stuff.
That's cool. Have you watched Paradise yet?
No, I'm going to.
So fucking good.
I'm definitely going to.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm hooked.
It's better than, and it's not what people would have thought it
at all. Oh my goodness. You know, so I put it on my list of things I'm excited to watch for this month. Yeah. And the way I described it versus what I watched, I was like, oh my goodness. So they had 3 episodes thinking that was it. Then I heard they're getting weekly drops and it just pissed me off because I wanted to watch all of it.
It's a binge,
No, because I watched all 3 really easily. As in, I was just, I didn't move.
Yeah, the end of episode 3 is really good.
I can imagine.
Yeah, and then, I was like, just give me more!
Are you happy shopping once a week? This guy specifically.
It kind of...
Because I know what your answer would be.
No, because there are some shows you should have binge.
Okay. I can see why they do a weekly drop for this show.
I actually get it, but I would love to have it all that much.
Of course.
I think they're banking on it being quite a big show for them. They put a lot of effort into sort of promoting it, which I think Dan Fogelman actually noted. He's because he's from America, but he studied here in England. He said he's really thankful to Disney and Hulu for the amount of promotion that they've put into the show, which I think is really cool. Obviously, he's put a lot of work into it, and you can see that in like the production of the series, the acting cast, the set design. It's not what you think it is, and
at
that's
all.
What's really cool. That's what's really cool because it sets up to be like a political thriller, but there's some layers to the series, which is nice. So, yeah, if you haven't seen Paradise, would highly recommend.
100%, yeah.
3 episodes are out. Episode 4 is on Tuesday. And, it was a good event. Some cool people were there as well. I met Pedro Pascal's stunt double there.
Sure.
And he said one of the films coming out this year, I'm not going to say which, but you can guess, that it's really good. But obviously, I don't know, he might say that for the sake of it, but he said it's really good. So.
Yeah, that must have been a fantastic interview.
What do you mean?
Fantastic Four, bro.
Oh.
Is that no?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was really good.
I hate the fact that you didn't catch that.
Really
yeah.
No, I didn't.
I didn't get it either, but that was.
I know. Fair enough. I should have said the word, but Fantastic was there.
Yeah, Fantastic. But we've got a task to do
Thank
today.
Thank you. Go ahead.
We've got a task to do today, so let's crack on with it. We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast of 14HQ Original.
Yes,
lovers
sir.
Film, TV, and theatre.
Absolutely.
And we are going to do a draft today, a draft of our favourites or the shows and the films that we're most excited for in 2025. Almost said 2024, you know. Nice. Almost did it.
It takes some getting used to.
Yeah, it took me a while. So it's quite simple. There are only 3 of us on the pod today, and we've got maybe 2 or 3 minutes each to pitch our favourite show. We can pitch it from 1 to 4. You can decide where you want to go from 1 to 4. So we're not going to go like, you can, if you wanted to start with your 4, start with your 4.
Wait, I get 4 choices?
You get but 3 films, 2 shows.
Yeah, okay. But we draw, so we go like 1 by 1. And if I take one,
that's gone. It's off the board.
Okay.
There's quite a few big shows and films coming out this year, so it should be quite an exciting one. Let's just get into it.
Okay, so...
Relax.
This is the
first time. We haven't decided the order of things yet.
This is the first time, we've been given a task, and I've almost stuck to it. Don't get me wrong, I've got 5 shows down, but I know the 2 I'm going to choose.
You should have a number of shows down, because someone might take one of yours.
If you take my show, we're scrapping. Sorry, if you take my movie, I've only got 2 movies, and if they're taken...
There's loads of good movies.
Is the ones I'm really excited for.
But I know one of yours.
Do you?
Yeah, I
feel like I know one of
yours. I know one of yours for sure.
Damn.
You can have it. I'm not going to take it.
Don't take it. I don't think you guys
know. Manny might want to take it, to be fair.
Don't be a piece of shit.
It's literally...
don't be a piece of shit.
Listen, we have to see how the order goes.
Should we rock, paper, scissors for it? Or do you want to
No, Manny, you can go.
Do you want to give
You want me to go first?
Yeah, first.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I'll take that one.
I don't think we're taking the same thing, you know?
So, one film that I'm really looking forward to is One of Them Days.
That's fine, you can have that.
Okay, so that wasn't the one you're thinking of? Really? That's surprising. But
the reason is because it's coming out so soon.
Okay, but...
I was thinking of anything.
I know what it is. It's
like 5... I don't know. It's one other thing I'm thinking of. It's that film that I'm not picking that one.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to One of Those Days.
You want
to
give us a bit of a breakdown, a premise of the series?
If I'm being completely honest, I don't actually know about... Oh, this is a film, by the way.
Yeah.
This is a film. I don't know what the film is about.
Okay, so it's 2 girls, 2 friends. What's wrong with you?
No, because I don't like watching trailers.
Okay, valid. So, if you've watched Insecure, imagine Molly and Issa have a movie. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
because it's got Kiki Palmer, SZA, produced by SZA. The cinematographer is the same person that done the cinematography for Insecure, and that film is gorgeously shot. And I think what saw me more on the film was watching the interviews with all 3 of them together.
I can tell you, a good press tour can sell a movie.
Oh, what 1,000%. I just love watching
Kiki on tour. Keep her on tour. Just keep her talking to people. She's
She's money. She's
cash. I love her. I'm actually like,
I really just enjoy watching her do whatever she wants to do.
Yeah, just, no matter what, just let her do it.
She's fully entertaining. But yeah, man. Obviously, I think Kiki is. She's a great actress. She's performed really well in so many great films. Even her performance in Nope. I didn't really care for that film that much, but I really, really liked the performance.
Yeah, for sure.
I really liked the chemistry she had with Daniel Kaluuya in the film.
My fellow Ugandan, you get me?
Oh, yeah.
Purr. Yeah,
no, your twin.
Not many of us in this world, so.
There's plenty. Go seek them out.
He said it and laughed.
Go to Uganda, my guy.
That's funny.
Go visit your people, bro.
That's your country. That's funny. Go on.
But yeah, she's a wonderful performer, and I've never seen Tizza act, but the way that she lies, I wouldn't be surprised. She's a great actress.
He's earned his social
cotton. You're so dumb.
Yeah. The chemistry that I saw them to have, I haven't seen a full trailer, but I feel like when they were doing like.
I've seen the full trailer and it looks like it's hilarious. Cat Williams is in it.
Oh, really? I did not know
guys,
that.
Guys, it's going to be the funniest thing ever.
And I see them two talking about potentially doing a sequel, but I don't think like that was actually serious. They was like mucking around saying, oh, who would you cast a sequel? And they mentioned like Viola Davis as the landlord.
Yeah.
I feel like that. Oh, this movie is black.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for it. Again, I'm a huge fan of Insecure, even though I haven't finished the series, and I'm not ashamed of that whatsoever. I stopped at episode 8, season 4, because I love it so much. I actually don't want to finish it. I genuinely don't want to finish the show. I know.
I finished it and I went straight back to the beginning.
I just want to do, but I might stop from the beginning now. I stopped in May. I haven't watched a single episode in May, and that was like one of my favorite episodes of TV. Is the episode with when Issa and Lawrence go on a date?
That shot right there.
Oh, bro, the blue and red insanity. Okay, I'm not gonna keep because I was late and I'm chatting for better long right now. But yeah, that's my number one pick.
That's your number one, yeah.
Yes, because I thought I was going to get taken off the board and I really wanted it.
I just want to make sure.
I want to make sure I had it. Yeah. But yeah, one of them days.
You're a piece of shit. It's a good pick. But it's fine. Yeah.
It's a good pick.
Thank you.
Oversight for me as well. That's a really good pick. I like it. Do you like his pick?
I do like his pick. And I'm glad it got picked. So I don't mind. Okay, my pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's your pick. Sorry.
Yeah. My pick is Opus. I'm really excited.
That was on my list. But it wasn't like, it was just one of the shows I categorized that I wanted to pick up.
You put Ayo Edebiri in anything and I'll watch it, man.
Facts.
She is just a star. I think she's just fantastic. I'm just in awe. I think she's an amazing actor. She seems like a really funny person. And I'm just excited for that movie. It kind of feels, I'm not a huge fan of horrors, but it doesn't feel like a horror. It feels like a thriller horror.
Do you think he needs to go up a bit? Just a tiny bit. Tiny bit.
That's crazy.
To be fair though, what I will say to you with horrors, I think thrillers are arguably scarier.
Is it tense? Is that how tense some shit is? Like, it's just the music. And
is it the jump scares that bug you?
Do you remember when we went to go watch Beetlejuice?
Don't tell me.
There's
that.
No.
No, there was one jump scare, yeah, and I actually physically jumped, and I had to look down like I didn't jump.
For Beetlejuice too.
It was just one, like, it wasn't intentionally like, it just made me go. I was saying it to Jace. It was Jace that was like,
Jason, he weren't there.
Yes, he was.
Jason wasn't there.
Maybe it was you then. No, I'm pretty sure Jason was there.
A bit of
on the horse.
I was there.
Oh yeah, Manny. Sorry.
You sure Jason wasn't there?
I can't remember Jason.
So who asked me if I was okay? Was it you?
I don't remember.
Because it was so like, it was said of love. That's why I thought it was Jason.
Oh, so fair enough. We don't speak to you with love.
If I jumped in Beetlejuice, would you look at me and be like, are you okay?
You don't think I'll do that for you?
No, you would not.
That's actually really surprising.
To be honest, Jason's a big panderer, so I can see that.
No,
that's not pandering, man.
No, you're so shit. That's pandering.
That's being nice, man.
God forbid someone's nice to me.
So Opus.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Opus. And yeah, that's my number one pick. Yeah. Not number one, but it's my pick.
Fair.
And yeah.
Perfect.
Keep Ayo Edebiri and everything.
Yeah, she's
on a really good black run. What are you gonna say now, guys?
On my pick, you two won't like it. Well, not that you won't like it, but my pick is Daredevil: Born Again.
Of course, that was always gonna be you.
Yeah, it's my number one, and I stand on that fully. I'm a fanboy for this series, isn't it?
Okay, I've got a question.
Look at me smiling, bro.
Yeah, you're really excited. That's crazy. Okay, so Daredevil, is this season one?
This is like. Not a spin-off, but it's a season one for Disney, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that was my question, because wasn't it on Netflix?
It was on Netflix. It's a Netflix series,
mm-hmm.
but Disney got the rights back for the character.
Essentially the same thing they did with Top Boy.
Top Boy.
Oh, with Netflix, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how they had first few seasons on...
Is it the same
but
thing?
But the difference is, Daredevil is Marvel property, and Marvel property is Disney property, so it's theirs.
But is it like the same thing?
It's going to be a sort of a continuation, in a sense, of the story that ended in season three, which ended beautifully. It's like, for me, the reason I love this series so much, I'll try and be as quick as possible. It's got a really good acting cast, including Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio, to name a few. It's a grounded superhero story, isn't it? And it's like, don't get me wrong, I love the fantastical side of things in terms of like, multiversal stories and that, when told well, when done well. But for me, you can't be a grounded New York superhero story. The way the original series was shot beautifully in terms of cinematography, the use of colours to give this like dark, hellish, which is Hell's Kitchen in New York, like hellish feel where, and it kind of shapes the characters. The environment shapes these characters and births who these people are. The philosophical debates on vigilantism and superheroes and whether vigilantism is a thing that should be feasible in such a world is really interesting as well. And the different perspectives of vigilantism versus, you know, law and order, if you like. And Daredevil as a character also goes through his own sort of turmoil in terms of his religious faith alongside his vigilantism. It's really, really well told. My concern is, which is, I guess you guys would understand, is will it be somewhat Disneyfied, which is a term people tend to use, like, will it be sort of watered down and colored down? Will it lose the character that it had with the Netflix series? Because Disney has a brand to some degree to uptake and keep. Mm-hmm. But they've said, the showrunner Dario Scardapane has said, it's going to be darker than the original series, which is a big take. Like, you're putting a lot of pressure on the series by saying that. Mm-hmm. And he also said it goes further and it's like more grounded than The Penguin, which is another big shout because that was one of the biggest shows of last year.
And it was very grounded show as well.
And it was a very good... So no,
I might watch it. But if you're just saying... Do you know what it is? This is the thing with bold statements, yeah? Because now I want to go in there and be like, it's going to piss me off.
But I would say if you're going to dive into Born Again, which is out in March, start with the Netflix series.
So I do need to catch up, basically.
I would say do that.
But how many episodes per season?
Three seasons. Come on, you're a binger, man.
Yeah, but I want to know, like, I know how to... Basically, guys, when you binge, yeah, you got to, like, you got to deal with it.
Because it's not...
Okay, how
binger. It's 13 episodes, three seasons.
Okay, each episode is what, 40 minutes to an hour?
50 to an hour.
Okay.
That's 2 days.
To be fair for her, valid.
Barely. No.
Kiz was nodding when I said Daredevil Born Again. He knows the
fact. Yeah. Okay, cool. Like, I'm not surprised. I wasn't going to hate that pick. I knew you were going to pick it as well.
I'm just curious. Because it ends phase five for Marvel.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's meant to be, it's the last.
Phase five has just like kind of started.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was giving wrong.
So Secret Wars will end phase five, potentially. You know. But this is like, you know. Yeah, it's my most excited show of the year for sure. I did a trailer reaction, and bro, I was like, I watched it back.
He was smiling.
I was like, oh,
yeah, bro, he loves
this.
I've never
seen him this happy in his life.
Yeah, I think this is the biggest show you fanboys over.
Yeah, for sure. Ooh, it's not my favourite though.
I know it's not your favourite, but it's the one you fanboy over.
Look how happy you are.
I know, man.
You're never happy to be on the pod, you know? Like, when he opens the pod to speak to us, ask us how our days are.
And I know exactly what it is, because your hair matches Daredevil.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think about that. But yeah, really excited for that. And it's back to me, apparently.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm going to go with a controversial one, but I'm more intrigued by... Firstly, it's going to be F1.
I had that on my list.
Really?
It wasn't going to be my pick, but it's like, I got a few films that I feel like if he doesn't get picked, we should mention it. But yeah.
I think one, because I don't think it would have been picked.
Okay.
Two, I'm really intrigued to see Damson on the big screen.
Yeah.
In a big blockbuster.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, we've seen him in...
Snowfall.
In Snowfall, which was amazing. And we saw him in that other series.
Swarm?
Yeah. But I think he's a talent. I think he's really talented. Yep. I think he gets a bit of a hard time. Sometimes, arguably, doesn't help himself. And I think people... But I think people overlook his acting ability because of some...
Do you think he helps himself? What do you mean?
He's a bit of an eek, like, respectfully. He can come across very corny.
Yeah.
Especially when he was with... What's her name?
Oh, Chloe... What, Blake? No.
Was it Laurie Harvey?
Yeah.
They're still together?
I'm pretty sure they're still together.
Okay,
but... As far as we know.
Oh, yeah. Like, he does come across very corny.
I don't... Maybe. I don't really see the corniness.
Yeah, of course you don't.
Yeah, I'm thinking one thing and one thing only.
But I think there's a potential for this film to be really good. I'm dubious because Apple TV, or Apple as a whole, don't make great movies. They make really good TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Their movies, Hit and Miss and Shaky Warrior. This is, and I think because a lot of their films in recent years have been in and out of cinemas within like the space of a few days.
Yeah.
It shows their lack of faith, or they've just said, we're going to put it on the platform.
Yeah.
But whatever you think of Brad Pitt in terms of, you know, his personal life, he's a big superstar, and I'm really intrigued to see that dynamic on screen between the two. Mm. F1's one of the most interesting sports in the world for me, especially in terms of like the politics and the drama that's involved in the sport as well. And it's become a lot more prominent with like the Netflix series. Mm. And I think sports dramas, when they're done well, are such good.
Yeah, it could be, they're so emotive. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you go.
The issue is with the F1, yeah, is that if you're not into that, in the sports dramas in general, if you're not into that sport, you just don't care for it that much. I don't know if I'm saying this correctly. Like, if it was like a football show, I would definitely watch it.
Right.
If it was even basketball, I'd definitely watch it. But I just don't care for F1. So I'm really not excited for this movie. When I saw it, I was like, I want to see Dampton and something great. I want to see something really
for
big.
Sure, for sure.
But I just do not care for this at all. I'm not a huge fan of Brad Pitt anymore either.
Yeah.
So all of that together, I'm just like, I want
as a person,
I think as a person, he sucks.
Yeah, 100%.
But also, I haven't watched anything he's been in ages. I've started the show he's got on Apple TV with Clooney.
You mean that's a film?
Is that a film?
It's a film, Wolves. Yeah.
I started watching it and I just assumed it was a show.
It was so mid.
Is it? Okay, I haven't finished it. I'm 10 minutes in. So that's the latest thing I've even thought about watching that has him in it. So when I saw the poster for F1, I was like, oh, damn, I was thinking, maybe I just want him in like a rom-com. I think that's truly what it is.
I think
I'm gonna be a bit more honest with myself.
I think we'll get it eventually, but it'll be nice to see him like go essentially perform next to somebody with Brad Pitt's stature. I can't think of an actor that Damson has performed next to you that's as big and as accomplished as Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
So it's a nice step in his career.
Yes, it is. Like, I'm happy for him, but I'm going to watch it because I want it to do well. But
you want him to do well.
I don't care about the movie as a whole, but I want him to do well.
Like, I'm looking forward to the film, but I am more looking forward to Damson.
The thing with sports dramas is if you can make the story and what drives these characters the heartbeat, it makes it so much more interesting to watch. And that's the pool doesn't necessarily have to be what particular sport it is. It's what the characters are going through. It's how they develop. It's the turmoil they're going through, whether it's trying to, you know, be successful or balance their work and personal life balance. Like, I think that's where this film will succeed for me, is if it's obviously the production and all that stuff. No doubt Apple's killed
100%
sound design. I can already almost hear the film in my head and see it. But it's the sort of emotive aspects of the characters that would make this film for me either really good or, that was an alright blockbuster for the summer.
But it's the problem. I've got a real thing with movies, or even TV shows. If you walk away from something and you're like a bit indifferent about it, that's terrible. You need to love it or hate it. You need to feel something for it. When you walk away from you're like, that'll do, that's so bad. If I ever made something and someone was like, yeah, I'd rather you be like, I fucking hated that.
That's how I felt about Cross. And people were like, Cross is really good. People always comment reply like, Cross, I'm like, Cross is just so bang average, man.
No, I don't think it was average. I think it sucked.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, I had an opinion on that one. That was...
Shout out to all the Hodge,
though. That was... always.
Put it.
But that was a cheers.
Away.
Yeah.
yeah, F1's my pick. Really intrigued by it. Joseph Kosinski's the director as well, which is interesting. I know his last film, can't remember the specific name, forgive me. I know his last film didn't do too well.
Spiderhead.
People slating that. Oh, like, yeah, killing it.
But he's
got a good track record.
Top Gun, Maverick.
Bro, come on, man.
Tron Legacy. Oblivion. I haven't watched that film. But also, he's paired with the cinematographer that he's done quite a few bit of work with, Claudio Merinda. He was also done The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Life of Pi.
Loved Life of Pi. That was one of my favourite movies.
A film that came out 2 years ago, Nayad, the film. I wasn't a huge fan of it. But he's also directed a song, I want you to guess. I'm going to give you some clues. 2000s R&B songs, that early 2000s. Funk song.
He directed
the cinematographer Claudio Merinda directed Funk Song.
I like that when I've seen that quite a few times when music like videographers have transitioned into film, and I think like
so not directed, he done the cinematography for music videos.
That journey does make sense.
I love it, and also that
Let's Get Married as well.
Oh my god, but also the video for Thong Song, I think it requires someone.
But yeah, I think Top Gun Maverick gives me hope that. At least from the production and sort of sound perspective, it's kind of. So yeah, that's my pick. And you know, I didn't think anyone else would pick it. So yeah, I'm really intrigued to see where you guys go with your next picks. Yeah. It's gonna go over to.
Solo.
Yeah.
Gonna be less excited.
My
second pick is Sinners.
Ah, damn it!
Yeah!
Oh, is that the one that you're thinking of? I'm not as fussed. But I'm surprised you're more excited about Sinners than one of them days.
It's because I know I've got a date to watch it.
Okay.
One of them days, like, I don't know when I'm watching Sinners.
Okay, okay.
You know what I mean? We've just got the date for one of them days.
Got you.
And I've been like...
You should pick Sinners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so excited for Sinners.
Talk.
So, I've seen all the promo going out for it. They've got me. But also, I think Michael B. Jordan is a really good actor.
Do you think he gets a lot of hate unnecessarily?
Yeah. And it's kind of what I think Aaron Pierre's going through right now. Yeah. So Aaron Pierre, everyone's putting him on a pedestal. Especially it's just Twitter.
Oh.
Everyone's putting him on a pedestal, being like, oh, he's so sexy, he's so this, blah, blah. And then he's got a picture of him in Skepta, and it's like, oh, you can't outface Skepta. And just, but also some of the stuff is just mean. People call him ugly, people like he's not that talented. And I'm just like, you just don't think he's as buff as Skepta, but that's okay to say, but you can just be normal or just leave him alone. You called him buff. He didn't tell you he's buff. Like, you said all of that, and you come out and just being mean to someone. And
it's a cycle though, especially when it's a good looking guy anyway.
Yeah.
They tend to definitely get put on a pedestal, and then as soon as, you know, they might elevate in status, or you might see them more often. The word is always used as corny.
But the thing is, I don't think
Aaron doesn't curse. I don't think he's corny, but
people have tried to do stuff like that too. I'm like, he's actually just being polite. I think sometimes we've actually messed up where he's just, on his press run, he's just nice to everyone. Mm. And I think you have to be a prick to be like human, but it's like, maybe he's just got manners. You know what I mean? Like, God forbid someone says hello when they walk into a press room. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what the hell? Is that corny or is that being nice? But anyway, Michael B. Jordan, I think he's got this, like, he's had that similar thing with Aaron Pierre. But I'm just really excited for it. I think it looks really great. Obviously, Jonathan Majors ruins everything. So Michael B. Jordan is paying a twin. And I know that wasn't meant to be the original plan.
That's a big ask as well.
Yeah, but I feel like he's, from what we've seen anyway so far, the trailers and all that good stuff, it looks exciting. Like, I'm really excited for it. Ryan Coogler, and he's worked with him before in it for Black Panther.
Oh, I really disliked his performance of Black Panther.
I liked it.
Michael B. Jordan.
Seriously?
I really disliked his performance.
What was it you didn't like?
The mouth thing they kept doing.
Okay, what's the last thing with Michael B. Jordan that you've watched that you've enjoyed?
I enjoy most of his stuff. Like, I think Black Panther's the only one that I watched. I think
he was really good in Creed.
He's really good in Creed. I like Michael B. Jordan as an actor. It's just Black Panther.
It's really interesting because he's the only person that I'm not gagging for a rom com from. I'm not even sure why that is. Maybe because Creed kind of gives you that.
He's too good looking.
Man. I don't think he's just good looking.
But I think when you're that buff, just do it.
I feel like his characters do come across as. Sometimes he gives that I'm a bit of a villain type.
He does give villain sometimes. You actually are right.
And I think that's why you don't really care to see in the rom-com.
But like, because I really want Damson in the rom-com. Yeah. Like, more
because aesthetically, I hear Michael B. Jordan in a rom-com.
That feels so easy to do.
But I think his past, like the films, that the characters that he played in, the way that he plays them, he doesn't scream rom-com to me. Damson in Dangerous, I can see him do that.
No, I can see the rom, less com.
Yeah, you can't imagine.
But that's just me. Funny. That's just based on
drama. I can see romance in a drama. Oh,
he does give very serious.
He seems intense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think he's great because first thing I ever watched him in was The Wire, I think.
Yeah.
So.
I thought you were going to actually say Creed, but yeah, it's The Wire. Yeah, yeah.
That would be the first thing. And I just think he's
one of the greatest shows of all time.
Yeah, and he's just fantastic. I'm so excited for this movie. And Hailee Steinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really funny tweet. Someone said...
Look at the producers. The chef's kissing.
Sorry. There's... do you know... Sorry. Shameik Moore.
Yeah. He's down bad.
Man. Oh, bro. Bro. That nigga is actually scary, bro.
Down bad. That Spider-Man film is going to get delayed for a long time. We're getting no Spider-Man across.
He's getting nothing after that.
Do you think she's got milk?
She's fantastic milk, but he's so funny. I'm sorry. No, it's the white background for the Ebony shoot. Us guys. Tears. All right. Can't remember why I brought it up, but
she's in the film. So
yeah, she's in the film. And someone's like, I know he's.
I'll be honest though, the trailer does look really good. I only watched the first one. I didn't watch the second because I tend to do that. I only watch that first trailer that comes out after that.
I've just seen her biting Michael B. Jordan's neck.
I seen a clip, yeah. I think I've seen the scene too you're talking about.
It's well shot.
Yeah.
It's really
good. It looks good. I haven't watched it.
And the white guy, who I keep forgetting his name.
I haven't watched the trailer. I want to see like clips of it. I don't plan to watch the trailer.
Yeah, I can't help but watch it because it's just everywhere. Fair. But also it came up on my TikTok and now they're shooting trailers as in 916,
yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. It feels a bit dystopian.
Yeah.
But I get why you do it. It makes sense. But I was watching the trailer. I was like, why am I watching it in this format? But also I can't get my eyes off this. I'm really excited for this.
You're talking about Jack O'Connell?
That's him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's like, there's one bar he says in the trailer. I'm like, this is going to be really good. The trailer's got me, as in I'm like...
I'm really looking forward to the film.
I can't wait. And God willing, we get to some junkets because I really want to speak to Michael.
This reminds me of when Tom Hardy did Legend, the Cray Tunes film.
Do you know what? Really funny story about Legends. Gone on a tiny tangent, yeah? So I loved Legends when I watched it. And I remember telling my friend's mum one time, like, I was like, I really like this this movie. And she said she hated it. And I was like, what the fuck, why? And she was like, because she grew up in that area when they were around. And they made the Cray Twins seem like they were just these ruthless gangsters that were da 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 da. But they were actually much worse.
Yeah.
And they were actually terrorising local people as well. Like, the shootout in the bar wasn't a joke. They shot out in a bar. And they hurt other people. But it just made the movie make it seem like it's just like, gangsters, beep, 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 beep. But they were terrorizing local people, and it's made me realize these movies and stuff, like, sometimes
propaganda,
yeah
effects.
But I still love Tom Hardy. Do you remember when I think it was the Times or the Independent gave it 2 stars and they put it in the middle to make it seem like it wasn't 2 stars, and the review was terrible? Please tell me you've seen that.
I have not seen it.
Yeah, it was on, but
the way that you done your hand like that and you said remember Tom Hardy, you thought you were talking about something else.
Manny, what's your
Oh, that's him. That wasn't even me.
That was me. I was going to stop right there. I was going to take it further than that.
Just trying to do my job.
I hear it. Reflex, memory. Yeah. I hear it. My next pick, I'm going to pick a series. I'm going to pick The Last of Us.
Yeah, that was on my board.
Yeah.
You've taken it off. That's fine.
Sorry, my guy. Season 2 of Last of Us. Excited for it.
You played the game?
I've played the first one a bit, but I didn't get too far into it. I've been spoiled about what happens in season 2, unfortunately. Have you seen it? Because I've seen you played all of it, so you know exactly what
happens. If you play the game for these shows, these games, does it ruin the show for you?
I mean, it's a story. It's a story-based game, so it tells you.
Honestly, that's my one thing. I can't watch shows and someone's like, yeah, it's a game. Because that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry. I can't. It's been explained to me 4 times and I still don't understand.
Have you never played a story-based game, have you?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But the difference is with the games, they give you like a nice base of a story to work with. Mm-hmm. Then it's down to like really talented writers to elaborate on elements of the plot, because there's only so much storytelling a game can actually do, from my perspective anyway. And a series can really fill those gaps between like big plot points in a series or in a game, sorry, that transitions into a series. So Fallout, for example, is a great example of that, where the game is good and it's got a good base, but the series completely takes it to like another level story-wise. And The Last of Us, actually season 1, did the same thing in terms of, you know, it's got the base plot of the game, but like really takes the heart of the story and the emotive aspects of Joel's character with Ellie. Yeah.
Yeah.
To another level.
Expanding more on different characters within the game rather than the actual story of itself, because the story is that.
I know what episode you're talking about. Your favourite episode.
Yeah, that's an elite episode, man. That was a well-written episode.
Two characters. There was two, three characters max, right?
Yeah. I think we're just two of them.
Just them two.
Yeah, throughout the whole episode. But yeah, we literally get a whole episode with two characters. And in the game, all we know from these characters is that there's like a note that the main character finds, and one of the people is dead already, and just reads the note, and it says, "Oh, my friend, something, and that's it. That's all we really know from Joel. Am I correct?
It basically doesn't give you anything about their relationship,
but the expanded so well of it.
Takes it to
But yeah, looking forward to season 3 Last of Us. Caitlin Dever is going to play in Abby. Abby plays a vital role within The Last of Us. Part 2.
Pedro P's back.
Pedro Pascal, one of my favourite actors over the last 10 years.
He's amazing.
It's a shame what they did to him in Gladiator 2. But Bella Ramsey, I really like her.
Yeah.
She's
amazing in Thrones first.
Thrones, bro. That was one of my favourite. Like,
her character.
Yeah. That speech.
She played Jorah Mormont's like niece.
Yeah. The young girl. It says, I don't know the kings. The only king I know is the king of the north. The little girl
Oh my god, the one that runs the north.
Yeah.
And the
one that gets picked up by the giant. Yeah. And just, right before she.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah.
That's
realest nigga alive. I liked her.
Ramsey But yeah, really looking forward to The Last of Us.
Where are you putting The Last of Us? Number two?
I mean, I guess so. I'm just like taking stuff out of order. It's not like in order in terms of like.
No, I think it makes it more fun if you order it.
I don't know. Can I do the order at the end? Because I'm not sure what I'm gonna have.
True. Good point. Good point.
Okay.
You just wanted it off the board.
I want it off the board. I'm next, but I don't think anyone's gonna pick this particular film.
That's a film, yeah.
Because we've done our films already. Well, I don't mind.
I've only done one, so I'm going to do it later. So right now, my second series I'm going to pick is A Night...
Seven Kingdoms?
A Night of the Seven Kingdoms, thank you very much.
Piece of shit.
That's anybody as well.
It's on my board.
So A Night of Seven Kingdoms is the story of Duncan and Egg, which is, he is a... What kind of soldier is he? Something soldier.
Hedge. I remembered everything, but yeah, my House of the Dragon.
Yeah, it's kind of slipped my mind, but yeah, I think it's a hedge shoulder. Like, it's okay. A Night of Seven Kingdom is one of the novellas written by George R. R. Martin that expands on the story of what happens in King's Landing. This is the story about the Egg is Aegon. I can't remember which Aegon he is, but he's a Targaryen, and Duncan, he is a hedge knight that and essentially not adopts, but he runs around with Egg for quite a while. So then we see the story of Duncan and Egg throughout the Seven Kingdoms, and we meet so many characters that would be old in Game of Thrones,
but they were
like children and young back then. I can't remember which characters the word that we've seen, but yeah, I'm excited. It's a Song of Ice and Fire property. I'm excited for fantasy.
It's HBO.
The recent House of the Dragons
seasons.
It's a good show, so I'm excited to see what they do with this and expand a bit more. But I've now accepted that any Song of Ice and Power, a Song of Ice and Fire property that's mixed into HBO TV show, I can't translate it from book to book, so I take it as a different property. Fan fiction. I've read Blood and Fire. So what's it called? Fire and Blood.
Yeah.
I read Fire and Blood. I've read the first two books of the Song of Ice and Fire series, and I read a bit of the novella of the Seven Night Kings or something, but I just stopped reading it. But yeah.
Okay.
No, it's HBO. I'm there.
Yeah.
You picked two HBOs, didn't you?
I did put two HBOs, bro.
It's a good dub there, to be fair. It's a good look, yeah. It's a good look. Biss?
You guys might take this one, so I thought I'd just say it. Baddies Africa? I'm joking. Imagine. But also, actually, I'm looking forward to Baddies Africa.
I believe you.
The Baddies franchise are going on a tour
for the first time.
For the first time.
The whole of Africa. Can't they just pick a country?
No, because... How many places can you go to in Nigeria to party? To party and fight?
I've never been.
Yeah. There's not that many places.
To party and fight.
On a random Wednesday in May. I don't know. It's actually not that feasible.
Is that the whole point of the baddie series?
Yeah, the whole thing is like it's party and fighting and then pretending to chase the bag, and the bag in question is just promoting parties. So they go and host bookings and stuff. That's actually not my pick, but I am looking forward to baddies. That's not my pick. My pick is... Are we getting it this year? Industry.
I don't think you get to pick that.
Okay, cool. I thought I actually stuck to the rule. Okay. All right, I've got it. My pick is Bridgerton.
Okay.
I'm so excited for the season of Bridgerton. We're finally getting the gay story. I just stopped calling it that. But basically, the one that just got married, so the last story.
Why do you look
at me when I say this?
Because I looked at you because I'm confused as to why you think I know what's going on. Because I don't know Bridgerton.
Okay, cool. So,
I watched the first two seasons. Though.
Did you? Did you watch the most recent one?
No, stop.
So, season three, we followed the story of one of the sisters getting married and one of the brothers getting married. But the side focus was one of the sisters getting married. And in the book anyway, the sister gets married to this guy. They move away. He passes away, but she falls in love with his sister. In the TV show, I think she's going to fall in love with his cousin that's coming to live with them when they move away. So they're moving to Edinburgh. Of course, at the time it's all set, it's so far away. Moving to Edinburgh, and I think we're finally going to get that storyline. And I guess it is with Bridgerton, is that we've gotten tons of, like, how many times can you tell us interracial straight stories?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this white guy and this Asian babe, this white guy and this white girl, or this black guy. Like, it's just, it's the same thing over and over again. But finally, we're getting something super gay.
Okay.
Excited.
Fair.
Yeah. Also, I'm glad they didn't make it. For my Bridgerton watchers, Eloise is the one of the daughters that should be married by now because she's of age to get married. Mm-hmm. But she's quite rebellious, I guess, or just free thinking and just lives her life the way she wants to live her life. I'm really glad they didn't make her the gay character.
Yeah.
Because it is really lazy writing when the girl doesn't want to get married and just, you know, just happy go lucky. And it's like, oh my gosh, she's gay.
Yeah.
It's actually the one that everyone thinks is really, she plays the piano and she's quite quiet and timid and she falls in love with a woman instead. It's better writing. I think there's really lazy tropes to get in like those kind of stories. But yeah, I'm really excited for Bridgerton. Like, fair. Really excited.
Nice.
And Shonda Rhimes has never let me down.
Fair.
She's got a series coming out, like a political thriller.
Yes, in The Residence. Yeah. On Netflix.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. It's like a, yeah, really. It's like a whodunit.
Yeah. Hmm? Oh, you love a whodunit.
Yeah, but British. I'm biased. Fair. Yeah, I'm a hater.
There's so many things that I come across my feed is like, yeah, Gaz will love this. Yeah. So many times.
I'm going to watch the one that Yasmin recommends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Charlie Cox, you got that song. Okay, you've done three.
Yeah.
So have you. I've got two on the board. So my next is The Bear Season 4. Yeah, sorry, boring. The Bear Season 4. I think Season 3, I think the critic.
Sorry, can I just say it? Completely forgot.
No, I wrote that, but I kind of thought you were going to take it. So that's why I've got some backups just in case.
Do you know what's mad, yeah? I thought about Industries, like, it's not coming out this year. I thought about Succession, like, Succession's done. For some reason, The Bear never even came to mind.
That was your top three. That's like your...
Yeah, is that those three are like...
The staples.
You want, yeah, those, like, over the last three, 4 years.
They are new staples.
Yeah, know. Yeah. But yeah, sorry, go on.
It's a shame we didn't actually get to pod about Succession more, you know? Because you weren't here, mm-hmm. and we only did, like, one episode.
Yeah,
that was it.
We can just do a look back at it and go over it again.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Listen, I've already been like seeing loads of clips on like TikTok and stuff. I'm ready for my rewatch.
So. And it's Kieran Culkin. Obviously, he's on tour as well. So every time like someone goes on tour, like a press tour, all their stuff comes back out.
Okay.
And he's funnier than he was when I watched it the first time.
He's hilarious, man.
But it's like
he's just himself.
I was like, you were funny, but you weren't this funny. Now I'm watching that guy. Like, you're hilarious.
Tom and Greg is the
best. Oh, bro, what a duo.
Potentially. Of all time, potentially. I might have
can't make an omelet without breaking some Greggs. Wow.
when he blackmails him, anyway, let me focus. Yeah, I think The Bear Season 3 got unnecessary hate. Now I do agree there was a slight step down.
Mm-hmm.
I think the series tried to incorporate more comedy because of some of the critics before, of fans of sort of the show and fans of TV saying, oh, you know, this isn't a comedy, mm-hmm. which is subjective, but I think there's a lot of, especially season one. Season one's actually got a lot more comedy than people realize.
And I guess
it's just that season two transitions into such an intense,
yeah,
sort of environment. What was you gonna say?
No, because it's because people keep calling it a dark comedy, and I guess dark comedies is so difficult to get right because, and what is a dark comedy?
I don't think it's dark comedy because
that's
not,
what people kept saying, that's a dark comedy, and I was like, no, it's actually just, it's just dry sense of humor, like it's funny, but I guess comedy is such a, you, when someone says they're watching a comedy series, you're like, I need to laugh. I need to like belly laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm watching it being like, that's funny, but I shouldn't laugh. Yeah. But that is funny.
I think with The Bear, it still gave us some amazing episodes in season three. I think back to Napkins, which was Ayo Debrie's directorial debut. Ice Chips.
My bestie, I love her, man.
Some people were like, they didn't love Ice Chips. I think Ice Chips is such a good episode. You know when Carmi's Sugar and Carmi's Mama.
I think because I heard you guys talk about it for so long, I didn't love it as much.
Oh,
I think that might affect.
We should just watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that episode. I love the opening episode of season three as well.
The montage
Tomorrow.
Of
beautifully really crafted beautiful. Episode.
Okay, now that's my question. Ooh. When you guys watched it, yeah, did you go straight into the next episode after that first?
No, I watched it back.
You watched it back.
Yeah.
They all drop at the same time.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Because after watching that first episode, why would you not just binge the rest of the series?
No, I watched
it. This again. Is like my campaign for binging shows.
Oh, go away, man.
I definitely didn't binge that season because I remember when we were recording.
I was struggling to
yeah.
I didn't want to binge it.
Yeah.
I watched it in one day.
But the final episode as well, for me, is phenomenal.
So good.
But do you know what's weird? I binged season two.
Yeah, because you were catching up.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that makes sense.
I think I have to hold my lips after I watch that.
There are so many good episodes to pick out, but the character writing is amazing. Let me just be quicker than I was. Amazing character writing, great episodes. It's shot beautifully. Some of the scenes in the kitchen are so beautifully captured, from the food. You know the kitchen nightmare in season one, the chaos scene where the camera's just moving everywhere. You've got Io dropping the cakes and Marcus moving crazy. Amazing series. The final episode of season three ends beautifully because it leaves things on a knife edge. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what's going to happen with Io's character Sydney. Carmi's in a breakdown and he's just seen Chef David, who's tormented him for years and years and years, and it stayed in his head. And he's still living with the chaos of just the Bizzarto family, which is...
And also, do you know what I love about The Bear? Every single episode, you wonder, will Carmi survive the next one? will he go meet his brother, or will he stay here? He's all like, I've never met a character that's so on edge constantly.
He's
written so well.
I think that's why, just to wrap up, he's not dislikable, because you can almost see, one, the humanity in him, and the series clearly explains to you why he is the way he is. That's not a justification of his behaviour.
Yeah.
Because he's still an arsehole, like a massive dickhead. But you can see ounces of humanity in him with Marcus, for example, when Marcus's mum passes away.
Yeah.
And he spends like 5 to 10 minutes with him talking to him. He mentors Marcus in the first season and a half, sends him to Copenhagen alongside, I think Sydney was involved in that as well, to be fair. But yeah. Oh, my guy, Chef Luca.
Oh, yeah.
Man, the Bear's amazing. That's my pick, man.
Isn't he coming back?
I think he's always going to have a season three for the final episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Bear.
Well, poor man. Love that man.
So I'm on three, so I got one more.
You got one?
Yeah. Golly, Fantastic Four. I've gone a bit comic heavy, to be fair. I actually think this is going to be really good. I actually really do. I think the cast alone is enough to sell it for me. Pedro Pascal is phenomenal.
Just amazing.
Joseph Quinn. We've got Ebon Moss backrack.
Talking about The Bear, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it says it all. Ralph Innocent. You know who Ralph Innocent is, innit?
Remind me.
Google him. His voice acting, his presence in films is incredible. He is in Nosferatu, which I saw last year. Incredible. So Ralph Innocent is incredible actor. And I think it's a chance for Marvel to really dominate the summer with a big blockbuster, a great acting cast. That's him. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Is that if we? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a really good actor anyway. Okay. Let me see. Yeah, that's him. That's him.
Thingy.
I don't know that.
Yeah, he's Thingy in Simpsons.
And I think Fantastic Four is a chance for Marvel to really do the Fantastic Four right. They're like Marvel's home. They're one of Marvel's first set of characters. It's the family of Marvel, if you like. So yeah, I'm really excited for it. The direction they're taking it into, in terms of like it's set in the 60s, I believe it's going to be like retro, very retro. I'm really excited for it, man. So and I think it's an important film for Marvel to like really get not just their fan base back, because I think Marvel will always have their fan base. To dominate the box office, which I hate talking about in a sense, but it's
that's their thing though. That's actually like Marvel. You don't care about story, you do, but they need to sell out. They need to like break numbers constantly.
But the important thing is you have to get the people that don't necessarily care about every single film to come and watch these films. So that's my number four. Yeah.
Okay, cool. My number four.
Yeah.
Okay, my number four. I'm gonna go for season three of Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm super excited. You guys watch Yellow Jackets?
No.
You'd love it.
Cool.
So good. It's five of these schoolgirls that go on a soccer trip. They get like abandoned. If you've ever watched The Wilds or anything like that, you would really, really enjoy Yellow Jackets. I'm so excited to see where the story's going to go for this third season, because the way it ended at the end of season two, I also don't think we were going to get it, because they kind of left it as like we might get another season, might not. And I don't want to ruin it, because I actually can't explain the story without ruining it. But the way season two ends, it's either redemption or it's collapse for everyone.
Yeah.
So the basic premise is really interesting.
Yeah.
I started an episode and then sometimes, you know, you get distracted. But yeah, no, I'm actually going to tuck into it at some point.
I think you'd really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to. Yeah.
Okay, my final one. I'm really excited for this one.
Oh, here we go.
So glad that nobody picked it. So this will be my number one, my favorite one.
Really?
I'm looking forward to Mickey 17.
Yeah.
It's directed by... Mikey, sorry, thank you.
Okay, I was right. I'm still not correct.
Mikey 17, directed by Bong Joon-ho.
Parasite, right?
Yeah, Parasite, if I pronounce the name wrong. That's why I'm really excited. I think he's an amazing director. Parasite is one of my favourite films that I've watched. It starts with Robert Pattinson, great actor. It also has Naomi Aki, who's in Blink Twice.
Come on, man. You know who I was already, man.
She's
a quality actor.
She's amazing. Stephen Yeul. Yeah. Amazing, even amazing voice actor as well, Mark Ruffalo. So the cast is that I'm really excited for. So a little bit about Mickey 17. It's Mikey. Thank you.
Another one of Mikey was sober, guys.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck you, man.
that wasn't that.
I wanted it to be so.
Yeah, I know. Mikey 17. So it's he. I think he's in a bad financial situation. Mm-hmm. So he signs up to this program where your body gets cloned to do all these jobs that eventually will most likely get you killed.
So you're bad.
So he does this consistently until I think his 17th one gets assumed to be dead, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And then I guess he just escapes. And then we see the world through his perception. But yeah, I'm just excited because of the director, I'm excited because of the cast. It looks great. It's from a novel called Mikey 7. I'm excited.
Sick. What we'll do then, does anyone want to trade any of their picks before we wrap up?
For something else?
For what someone else has on the board already.
Okay, I'm going to go for my picks again. So my films, I had...
Do you want to list your order as well?
Okay, so number one, I'm going to do Opus. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm going to do Sinners. Mm. Number three, I am doing... What TV show did I go with in the end?
Yellow Jacket.
I changed it quite a few times in my mind. Bridgerton. No. Number three is Yellow Jackets, and number four is Bridgerton.
Mm. Cool. That'll be Mikey number one. Mm-hmm. One of Those Days number two. The Last of Us three, and Out of the Seven Kingdom four.
Mm, yeah, that's a good pick. Yeah. I've got a Daredevil Born Again number one. Yeah. Oh, come on, man, you know the vibes already, man. Don't come on. Number two, Fantastic Four. Mm. Number three, The Bear season. The Bear season four, Fantastic Four, and what was my final pick?
Guys, man.
I know, right? It was a film. Oh, F1. Yeah. F1 is my final pick.
I don't mind trading my Bridgerton for one of them days.
I'm not trading.
He's
that.
A piece of shit. Bridgerton, you know.
A TV show that I don't watch for a film.
That's jokes. Yeah,
but you don't need the Bear four.
It's a good four. It's a good
no,
four.
But you don't need.
You don't the need what you don't need four. Is that.
Oh, you want to trade?
Yeah. What do you want?
Nothing, bro.
The Last of Us.
Nah, I'm cool, man.
And Night of the Seven Kingdom. HBO.
Oh, look at me. I love Game of Thrones. Piece of shit. No, I like your picks, but I'm happy with mine.
Yeah.
But I think we've got some good stuff off the board in general, just from this year.
Yeah.
So I think that was a good start to the season.
Yeah. I think
our first episode back.
Some films that surprisingly get mentioned. 28 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Ballerina. I thought that would be something that you thought of. The spin-off of John Wick. And finally, Wicked Part 2.
It's so late in the year, though.
Still in the year.
I don't know. I really thought in the next, like, 2 or 3 months. I had to narrow it down one way or another. Do you want me to do the task or not?
Yeah.
If not, I would have given you a full list. Do you want a full list?
That's fine, it's fine.
Yeah, but there's a lot of films.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
do you know what, yeah? Netflix did the Next on Netflix thing. Yeah, and all the shows that they're coming out with. And I was like, wow, this is actually kind of like a
Zero Day looks crazy, just throwing it out there.
Like, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of excited.
Have you seen the premise of Zero Day?
Robert De Niro,
Angela Bassett, crazy cast. Jesse Plemons is in it as well.
Angela Bassett.
He might be my favourite support actor. Support actor? Yeah, support
you
actor.
You want to say actor?
No, because he's never been a lead actor in everything.
Like, you just limited that boy. He said, this is it.
Name me one thing he's ever led in.
No, that's not what I'm saying. My point is... All right, got me.
But guys, great episode to return to for season four, shall I say. We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast. We are now back on YouTube. So guys, make sure you like, share and subscribe. Make sure you follow the YouTube because it's up and running.
Yes, sir.
You get me? We've got loads of shorts on there, but we're now going to have loads of videos as well. This one's going to be starring a lot of them. Look at her. Amazing. If you want to subscribe just because of her.
You should.
You should do so. But also, make sure to follow on the TikTok, Post Credit Scene Podcast. Follow on the IG as well. Jason, do you want to just say it out instead? Because I can't mouth read.
The letterbox. We have a letterbox.
Just about.
But this year.
This year, we're looking in. We're looking in.
Can I
do reviews of like reality TV?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Anything.
We're doing reviews. If you want a consistent weekly review of baddies, yeah, I'm there, front and center.
Okay, I'm going to tap in every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a reality duo anyway, so it's fine.
Jason watches UK reality TV. He's worse than me. Yeah, the US one is actually entertaining.
He's actually a baddie himself.
He watches like Badders.
Yes.
He is a baddie.
Yeah. Purr.
The Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV and theatre, over and out.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.